The United States in 1800 was a political phenomenon, an independent nation sprung from European colonies, a republic in a world of monarchies, a unique society resting on a broad base of property-owning family farmers. Enslaved men and women composed one-fifth of its population, 40% to 60% in southern states. But that horrendous fact did not prevent America's leaders from speaking ardently of inalienable rights to justify their revolution. Independence brought self-government to the American states, but self-government was not the same as participatory democracy. That would require a more thorough transformation of American political culture. To accompany Thomas Jefferson through his presidency is to follow the tumultuous changes that turned the United States into a democratic nation, albeit one that tolerated slavery. In leading America toward democracy, Jefferson also instilled the nation with his liberal convictions. That is, he succeeded in limiting the scope of government while protecting the informal public realm where people could form organizations, engage in politics, and freely trade with one another. So familiar to us are these elements of public life that we easily forget that it took a foresighted leader to pluck from the quiver of America's possibilities the two arrows of participatory politics and limited government. Like the first decade of the 21st century, the first years of the 19th century found the world on the edge of a profound transformation. But whereas globalization in our century has many advocates, in 1800 few people expressed belief in democracy. At the dawn of the new century, elitist attitudes prevailed in America. The spirit of equality animated some philosophers and reformers, but the people around them could scarcely fathom what egalitarian practices might involve. Most Americans, particularly the upper-class leaders of the Revolution, considered political independence their great triumph. They looked upon further social change as an invitation to the disorders they had already lived with during the protracted war with Great Britain. According to conventional wisdom, the world was divided between the few and the many, the talented few who led and the ordinary many who labored. Privilege had a special social bite. Plain men and women deferred to ladies and gentlemen when they entered a room or passed them on the road. Assumptions of superiority and inferiority lodged in children's minds and grew into the unexamined assumptions that silently supported adult attitudes. In European society, the vast majority of people were so poorly fed, so wretchedly dressed, that they seemed like a race apart. In the United States, there really did exist a race apart. The enslaved men, women, and children originally from Africa who occupied the bottom rung of a social ladder not crafted for climbing. In his conviction that America was destined to become a democracy, Jefferson differed from the cohort of leaders who had fought for American independence. They, of course, believed in freedom and made every effort to form governments that respected civil liberties and extended the suffrage. They admired the sturdy independence of the typical American man, which distinguished him from the middling sort in Europe, but they retained the respect for rank that dominated conventional thought. Jefferson alone, among his American peers, anticipated the age of democracy and bent every effort toward hastening its peaceful, consensual arrival. Awareness of the deeply ingrained biases of a ranked society is essential to understanding what the democratic transformation of the United States involved. Jefferson is remembered as the author of the Declaration of Independence, an early advocate of religious freedom, and the purchaser of the Louisiana Territory. But his most unusual gift was that of political imagination. He resisted the notion that political equality was a chimera, and strove to root out the last monarchical remnants from American culture. This work put him at odds with the country's privileged upper class, and especially its political arm, the Federalist Party.